Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And look at the last verse in this chapter. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19 says, "So we see." Here is the conclusion of what he is saying in this chapter. 19 verses. Here's the conclusion of what he's getting at in this chapter. "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Now, the heading of this chapter, what I have on my page, and I know most of you have it on your page, written at the top for this chapter says, "Christ more worthy than Moses." And it says the danger of unbelief. That's what the chapter's dealing with. And the message of this chapter is, don't try to obey what Moses wrote in order to be saved. That's the message of the chapter. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just trust Christ. Verse 1, Hebrews 3, verse 1, he said, "Wherefore, holy brethren." He's talking to particular people. Holy brethren, those who are holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that a person can be holy. They're not holy in themselves. They're not holy in anything that they've done, anything that they are. Holy because they were chosen to be holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only reason. And that's all we can say. All we can be here is grateful. That's all we can be. We ought to be the most grateful people on earth. I mean, we ought to be the most grateful people on earth. God chose to put us in Christ. He calls them in us in verse 3, partakers of the heavenly calling. That's called grace, isn't it? Partakers of the heavenly calling. He said, consider. Consider. Let's fix our eyes on the apostle. You see that capital A? The apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. The apostle and the high priest, Christ Jesus. He is the true apostle. The true apostle. He's God's true apostle. He was sent of God to preach the message of deliverance. God sent Christ to this earth to preach the message of deliverance. He's the one who confirmed it. The apostles went out and confirmed the word, didn't they? Signs and wonders. He is the one who worked through the apostles. He is the one who confirmed it and secured that salvation for his people. He is the great high priest. He's the one who entered into the holiest of holies. And I love the thought of that. You know, you have the holy of holies. The holy place, and then you had the holiest place. And he entered into the holiest of holies. And he offered his own blood, and he made intercession for us. What an amazing thought that is. And the writer, the apostle who wrote this, which most believe, I believe, it's the apostle Paul. It doesn't say, but what he's saying right here is believe on him. Believe on him. Don't look to Moses, look to Christ. Don't look to Moses, look to Christ. Well, let me ask you this. Didn't Moses write God's word? Wasn't that not Moses' word, but God's word? Didn't God say, I say, you tell the people this? Wasn't that God's word? Yes, it was. He wrote God's word. This is what we must never forget. This is something that I have... we went through Galatians recently. And some things were really confirmed to my heart as we went through Galatians. And this is one of them. And I've mentioned it a few times since then. And every time I mention it, it's like I get a hold of it a little bit more. I enter into it personally just a little bit more. God did not give Moses those commandments to give sinners an opportunity to earn salvation. People say you either have or will hear this at some point. People will say, once they hear what you believe, they'll say, well, everybody has a chance. And that's what people naturally think. You ought to at least have a chance. Okay, if you fail, you fail. That's on you. But everybody ought to at least have a chance. People don't have a chance. They just don't have a chance. There's just no chance. Everybody is conceived in sin. I mean, this whole thing starts in the womb. It starts in the womb. It's where it begins. It doesn't start anywhere but in sin. That is every soul on earth. The scripture says we all come forth speaking lies immediately. You know, children, when they're born, they have no idea they are alive. They don't know. I don't remember much before the age of 5. I don't remember much. And I know at 5 I knew I was alive, but I don't believe at the age of 6 months old or 3 months old or some age, I don't think I knew I was alive. And then all of a sudden, babies start to learn things. They start to see things and they start to... By the time we all understand that we're even alive, we've already committed enough sin to cast us into an eternity of hell. Every time that baby cries, it's rebellion. It's rebellion. It's absolute rebellion. And in the flesh, man doesn't have a chance. He just does not have a chance. Our God knew that. The all-knowing God knew that when he gave the law to Moses. He already knew that. The problem is man doesn't know that. That's the problem. Man does not understand that. Man is oblivious to the fact that God only gave that law to show us how great our sin is against him. If they did not post the speed limit sign, I would never know I was breaking the law. If they didn't post the sign, I'd never know. So God gave the law to show us how great our sin is against him, and he gave us the law to show us how perfect Christ is. The law is his character. That's all the law is it's telling us this is the mind, heart, will, and deeds of Jesus Christ. And you don't stack up. That's what the law is. That's the purpose of the law. And so it's to show us that this is how far we've fallen. This is how perfect he is. And it's to show us what we are in him. What he has made us to be in him. He's going to redeem us back to that perfection. So the writer here is saying, don't put your trust in Moses. Understand what all this is about. Don't put your trust in Moses. Put your trust in Christ. Verse 2 says, talking about Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Moses obeyed God, and he delivered the people like God told him to, but that earthly deliverance out of Egypt, that was just a type of an eternal deliverance. Verse 3 says, "For this man, Christ, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house." The one who builds the house has more honor than the house. Hold your place and go with me over to John 5. John 5, verse 45 says, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust." And this is religion. This is the sad state of religion. "Moses, in whom you trust," he said, "for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for the whole time he was writing about me." He was writing to describe me and point you to me. Verse 47, "But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" Look with me over at John chapter 9. John 9, verse 28 says, "Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple." You're the disciple of this man, Christ. "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fella," talking about Christ, "we know not from whence he is." They said, "We're sticking to what Moses said. We hear what he's saying, but we're going to stick to what Moses said. Do this and live. We're going to hold on to that." Turn back with me to John 6. Now, this is what Christ said, the apostle, the great high priest. John 6, verse 37, he said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Where is Moses in all of that? He said, "Don't put your trust in Moses. Put your trust in Christ." Go with me back to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, verse 4 says, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." What house is he talking about? Verse 5, "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." Moses was faithful over the house he was given, the actual children of Israel. God put that into his care, and he led them out of bondage, and he brought them to the promised land. but he was only a testimony of things to come. Christ and his own house, his wonderful house. Whose house are we? And he says right here, if God gives us faith to believe on him. If God gives us faith to hold fast our confidence and our rejoicing in him all the way to the end. And that faith is not the condition, is it? That faith is not the condition. That faith is the evidence. We see that over and over and over again. It reveals who has been made to be a part of this house. Now, as the heading says, Christ is more worthy than Moses. Don't look to the law. Look to the one who fulfilled it. Look to the one who fulfilled it. Don't miss Christ on your way to work. All right, that's what he's saying. Don't miss Christ on your way to work. Everybody's got to get to work. They're headed to work. Don't miss Christ on your way to work. Stop and consider him. Consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Believe on him. The reason he says that is because now he's going to tell us the danger of not believing on him. Look with me at verse 7. He said, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter in to my rest. Right there, he is directly quoting Psalm 95, verses 7 to 11, what we just read. Directly quoting it. And what he's telling them is, those were the Israelites. Who he's talking about right there are the Israelites. The ones who profess to be God's people. They were saying, we're God's people. But they spent their time in unbelief. They were murmurers. That's what it says about Israel, about God's. You know, what he's talking about is he brought them all out, but he said nobody over the age of 20, is that what it was? 20? Nobody over the age of 20 is going into the promised land. And he said it's because you've done nothing these last 40 years but murmur and complain and rebel against my word. He said, that's the reason. You're not going in. He said, they would not hear. They wouldn't hear. They would not bow to his word. And they hardened their hearts. And he said, I was grieved with them. So he said, wherefore, verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, for some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. What he's saying is, recognize who it was. He repeats himself. He said, recognize who it was that heard and provoked him. Recognize who it was. It was the very ones he brought out of Egypt. Verse 17, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Who was it he was grieved with? It was the ones he showed kindness to. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. He is saying as clearly as a prophet can say it, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is that not what he just said? Did we not just see what he said? Is that true? The dangers of, is there not danger in unbelieving? I don't think I'm going to believe that. Is that safe or dangerous? I'm just not going to. Is that safe or dangerous? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now, we are not going to leave this Bible study on that note. This is the reason why. Our faith does not look to our faith. Okay, this is the most important part. Did we hear what he just said? He's like, I'm warning you. He pulled them out of Egypt and they died in the wilderness. He delivered you out of the bondage of religion and the bondage of yourself and the bondage of all that stuff. And they died along the way. They died before they made it into that promised land. And he said, there's danger in unbelief. Don't look to Moses. You better look to Christ. Is that not true? Oh, I hope I have enough faith. Does that worry you at all? Oh, I hope I... If I don't have enough faith, I'm a goner. Our faith does not look to our faith. Our faith is not in our faith. What if I don't have enough faith? Oh, what if I don't make it because I don't believe on him like I should? What if my good enough is not good enough? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or you're going to die in your sins. Is that not true? Is that true or false? True. Our faith in Christ is not in our faith in Christ. Does that make sense? Our faith in Christ is not faith in our faith in Christ. I want us to just very quickly end this Bible study considering the apostle. We're going to end this trusting the word of the great high priest. Go with me to John 10. John 10, verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. They are in my hand. I am in his hand. And nobody can pluck them out. Nobody. They're never coming out. They can't jump out. They can't rebel out. They can't sin out. They're not coming out. Unbelief. If I am experiencing unbelief is trying to figure out how much faith I have. Unbelief is trying to make sure I have enough faith in him. Unbelief is assessing my faith. That's unbelief. belief is, true faith is, trusting whatever he said. That's faith. This is what he said. Go with me to 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2, verse 13, he said, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. If we lose every drop of faith he's given us, the disciples always said, Lord, increase our faith. I want more. And then he would say, you still don't have faith? Are you yet without faith? Butterfingers, why are you letting it slip through? I just put some in your hands. If we lose every drop he has given us, we still can't be plucked from his hands. Not if we're his. Not if he chose us. Not if he bought us. Not if he's keeping us. Not if he's going to supply us with more faith. He cannot deny himself. He is faithful. He is faithful. True faith completely takes us out of the equation. True faith completely looks to him. True faith says, it is irrelevant how much faith I have. Even if it's only the grain of a mustard seed, I'm totally, totally trusting him. I'm just trusting what he said. Let's just stay right there. Just stay right there. Put all your, don't look to Moses, don't look to yourself, don't look to your faith, don't look to anything. Put all your hope in the apostle. Put all your hope in the great high priest. And we'll be safe. We'll be safe. All right, you're dismissed.